Welcome back to another episode of What's Up, Prof. So what are we doing today, Walter?
We're talking about reflections on COP26 and other things.
Let's open with a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you very much for giving us the opportunities to have these discussions. We ask that you bless the discussion and also enlighten our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Martin, the last events will be rapid ones. Isn't that so?
Yep.
And the very final cherry on top will be the implementation of the Mark of the Beast.
And I'm starting to think that these rapid movements will not always be very visible.
Yes, because, when you have societies that work in secret, then that's the catchphrase. Secret.
Exactly.
Secret. Nobody is supposed to see. And when somebody walks in secret and someone doesn't know about it, then he's inclined to shout conspiracy theory. So let's have a look at some run-up interesting things that are happening in the world besides COP26. We'll get there. And one of the interesting things that is happening is this company called Meta. And Meta is a new creation, a umbrella company that embraces the social media companies.
Yeah, it's like Facebook and Instagram and WhatsApp.
Correct. So they still keep their names, but they fall under a new mega umbrella company called Meta. Now here's an article in CBN News, The Christian Perspective, and it says, Meta will no longer allow ads targeting politics, religion, sexual orientation on Facebook and Instagram. So this company, this mega company, is not only a company that contains companies, it is also a censoring board.
Yes, it will decide what is
correct.
Lawful or
what is lawful and what is not. And when I look at some of these characters that are in controlling positions, one asks oneself, how does it happen that people of such a nature become the moral thermometer for the world? Which is highly unlikely, right?
Yep.
Because the power which they wield is one where they will sit in Congress under cross-examination with a confidence and a power that cannot be moved even by the most blatant attacks against what they are doing.
I mean, you constantly see them, like you say, before Congress, being grilled, but nothing happens.
Nothing happens. They stay absolutely calm. So the only solution to that, Martin, because it wouldn't happen with you and me, right?
No.
The only solution is that their power comes from another source. And we've seen many an occasion where we can deduce with a fair amount of certainty where that power comes from. Mm-hmm. Martin, have you had a personal interview with the Pope?
No.
Have I had one?
No.
I don't think we will have one. But these people do, right?
Yeah.
They are constantly in that forum. So what does this actually mean? And their symbolism is also interesting. This infinity sign on its side, which is also, of course, the same sign that we find in secret societies. And Pope John Paul II actually used it quite often when he went like this, etc. So Meta, the newly named parent company of the social media giant Facebook, announced Tuesday that early next year, it will no longer allow its advertisers to target ads on topics related to politics or other sensitive issues, including religion. And then there's the issue of shadow banning. Mm-hmm. Now, we have said quite some time ago already that even our own channel is obviously under shadow banning.
And shadow banning for a long time by the fact checkers were put forward as a conspiracy theory.
Correct. And here's another fact-checking conspiracy theory that is in the dustbin, because Facebook's Transparency Center publicly admitted to its shadow banning habits last month.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. So this is CBN News saying that it's not a conspiracy. So the National Religious Broadcasters report that Facebook's shadow banning policy directly affects biblical messages on the platform. And you cannot tell the true extent, etc., but it says here, the true extent of Facebook's content distribution policies remained cloaked in secrecy. Now, Martin, seems like secrecy is the name of the game, right?
Exactly. We've been on the other side of this. If we just look at the statistics about how when we started the WhatsApp Prof series, for instance, what happened there and our views were and recommendations of the video to other people were really quite good. And if all of a sudden this started happening and we saw the curve going down and then this conspiracy of shadow banning was up in the air. And now we actually got it from themselves
that they're doing that. Now, this is very, very interesting. So this is one of the mega companies and their CEOs that are working very closely with other powers, including, of course, and mainly, I would like to add, the Vatican.
Yes.
So this is part of the plot for the end time. Now, here's an article in New Scientist, and it says, why has Facebook changed its name to Meta, and what is the metaverse? Facebook has rebranded itself as Meta in an attempt to own the metaverse, a concept for a 3D version of the internet that a number of companies are working on. The name was chosen to echo the key product that Zuckerberg hopes Facebook, now Meta, will be represented by, the metaverse, the name for a shared online 3D virtual space that a number of companies are interested in creating as a sort of future version of the internet. In this future, you will be able to teleport instantly as a hologram, to be at the office without a commute, at a concert with friends, or in your parents' living room to catch up, Zuckerberg wrote in a letter announcing Facebook's rebranding as Meta. Now, they've done this before. Many years ago, I gave a lecture called The Beamable Sustainable Princes, mm-hmm. in which Al Gore and Prince Charles were actually portrayed in a hologram, virtual situation. So this is not new technology.
No. This is just technology that they want to incorporate into everyday life now.
Correct. And basically, Martin, when you go into the details of what they are doing, they are creating a virtual reality.
Yes.
In other words, they are creating a world where you operate within your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what happens outside, you create your virtual reality. You can be in a meeting. You can actually, in that virtual reality, order food. It will be delivered to you by drone.
Yeah.
Right?
Correct.
Isn't that
they've also portrayed this in some movies, like Ready Player One, where they've got a similar situation that the metaverse will consist of.
So in actual fact, the world has been prepared for this. Now, Martin, what is this based on? Is this based on a real world or is this based on a meta world? It's based on a meta world.
Right.
Now, which ideology in the world teaches its adherents to create a meta world?
The Jesuits.
There's only one.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Jesuits. Where you in the form of visualization,
exactly.
enter into the world of imagination, and then you create your reality.
That's it.
Or you rewrite reality.
That's Ignatius Loyola spiritual exercises.
That's exactly what it's all about. So these are Ignatian spirituality. And, you know, I don't want to be highly critical of everything that's happening in the world out there, but there are some very famous Christian movies that are, or series that are being produced even currently, where you have stories of Jesus, but a lot of it is based on spiritual exercises because there are additions to the gospel which through the power of the imagination have been added to the story, and therefore they are able to actually steer the ship in a different direction.
Ever so slightly.
Ever so slightly. For example, you can divert the emphasis from Jesus to Mary. You can divert the glory of Christ to the disciples. And, you know, you can do many of these things. So it is a very dangerous world in which to live. Now, when God created this world, did he create a reality or did he create a virtual reality?
A reality.
He created a reality, right? Now, in movies like The Matrix, they will try to tell you that it's not a reality, it's a virtual experience. Yes. You only think that it is a reality. It's a very dangerous move. Satan has been busy with this kind of thinking and mind manipulation for a very, very long time.
Exactly, and it's been pulled through to religion, because now a lot of people think that this that we see is also not the real thing. This is almost a new age.
It is absolutely new age. And we can also see why spiritual formation is such a dangerous concept. And I've been receiving quite a number of letters from people that are, you know, in dire straits, that are destitute, and they're seeking help. And they want spiritual guidance, and they're depressed, and they have problems, and they need to come out of these problems. And these so-called Christian methods are based on, many of them are based on spiritual formation, which place you in a virtual reality and try to divert you from what your current trend is into another trend based on virtual reality. It doesn't work like that, because we are not virtual. No. We are actual.
You actually have to deal with what's going on.
All right. Now, let's say in this virtual world, you are doing gardening. You'll actually be sitting in your chair with a pair of glasses on that create the 3D experience, and you will be doing everything that you're doing with your two fingers, right? Mm. You will be doing whatever it is.
Yeah, they might even develop some technology that you actually do something with your hands, but it won't be real.
It won't be real. Yeah. It will be virtual. And God has placed nature at our disposal. He has created all the creatures, the plants, the soil, and he wants us to be active participants, not in an imaginary world, but in a real world. And the same with our relationship with God. Our relationship with God cannot be a virtual relationship. That's Jesuit thinking. Mm. They are constantly in a virtual world. And in that world, they can manipulate minds and circumstances at their will.
Yeah.
But in a real world, you will have to base your spirituality on this book.
Exactly.
And what this book says is reality.
Yes.
Everything that is added to or removed is virtual.
Virtual.
Very, very dangerous occult experience. So my advice to people would be to become not more and more involved in these platforms, but less and less.
Yeah.
Now, let's see how far this goes. Pope Francis warns against preachers who sow division online. We've had this quote up before, mm-hmm. but it fits in with Meta.
Yes.
Because there will be a very strict way of dealing with this kind of thing, right?
Exactly.
So what will be permissible and will not be permissible is not based on the morality of those CEOs. Mm-hmm. But is based on another morality, which is found at a higher level, namely here in the Vatican. So at his general audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis warned against preachers who sow division and mistrust online. Mistrust in whom, Martin?
In him.
In him. And his methodologies,
exactly.
Right? And, well, he deserves mistrust. Didn't the Reformation open up the very issues that led to the mistrust?
The Reformation brought back the reality because everybody was living in a virtual reality, not knowing yes. that who's the Antichrist.
They were even living in a virtual afterworld of screaming souls in purgatory. That was a virtual reality of that time.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a reality, it was a lie.
Exactly.
Right? It wasn't there. It wasn't in this book. So there's no shortage of preachers who, especially through the new means of communication, can disturb communities. Well, preaching the gospel is disturbing communities, making you think.
Exactly. And now we've seen that already on this new Meta platform or the new Facebook.
Won't happen.
Won't happen. You're not going to be, there's no religion ads. It's already shadow banning anything that has to do with the Bible.
They're already doing it. So this is very interesting. So when it comes to disturbing communities, it actually should read there, disturbing communities that he has managed to indoctrinate into a state of oblivion at this point in
yes.
time. Now, when you disturb communities by preaching the truth and the gospel, then you are opening up a debate, and that leads to decisions. And this is where the world is heading. We're heading for a mega conflict.
That's it.
One which says, we will silence your voice completely at the to the point of death.
And that you've just mentioned, but thinking and consciousness is guided by them at this stage.
Correct. Now, let's just go back into history. Were there in the Middle Ages at this point any dissenting voice against their system? Mm-hmm. What happened to them?
You were taken out of society.
They were burnt at the stake, yeah. right? Any dissenting voice. Are we heading back there?
Yes.
So are we making an image to the beast?
Definitely.
Are we thinking like it? Are the mega corporations thinking like it? Now, Martin, once we understand this, then we will understand what Scripture says when it says we are making an image to the beast. Yeah. Now, when God created man in his image, he created him physically, but he also created him spiritually, right? Mm. So when we were in the image of God, that meant that the mindset was the same as the mindset of God. It was in harmony with his character. It was in harmony with his principles. It was in harmony with his law. This system, this Antichrist system, also has an image.
Yeah.
And the whole world must be in the image of this Antichrist. In other words, it must have its mindset. And that mindset is a mindset that leads to death, according to the Scripture. Mm-hmm. So it requires a choice, right? Here's the Washington Times from October 19, 2021. Block fake news. Pope Francis begs social media firms in the name of God. Pope Francis wants social media companies to stop sharing fake news, pleading for such censorship of purportedly open forums in the name of God.
It immediately brings back to me what you've just said about the Middle Ages.
It's exactly the same
thing. It's exactly the same, because who decides what's fake news?
He does.
So who decided what you should believe in the Middle Ages?
Correct.
They did.
So the 84-year-old leader of the world's 1.2 billion Roman Catholic made his comments in a video address to the Vatican-sponsored Fourth World Meeting of Popular Movements. Is the Vatican behind all of these moral meetings and conjectures? There's no doubt, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Whose members he called social poets. Francis spoke in Spanish with English subtitles appearing on screen. So we are basically in this phase of history where the image of the beast is being set up, where the state and the media, which are all interconnected, are creating a virtual world which is in harmony with the thinking of Rome.
That's it. That's spot on. And the thing is, like we'll see later, anybody that's still thinking that there's freedom or autonomy out there, you'll see there is none.
No.
He is in control of all.
Now, as we can see, the restrictions are becoming more and more, right?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be a very slow, gentle approach. Otherwise, people might be alarmed.
Exactly.
You have to take away the freedoms piece by piece and provide so-called plausible reasons as to why you are doing this.
And you have to give some incentives and some rewards for doing what they want
Correct.
You to do.
For some of their programs, I see that some brothels are offering such incentives. If you do what we want you to do, then you have free access. I mean, this is how ridiculous society has become. Revelation 13 verse 3 says, "And I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death, and the deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast." And we look at that word, we've had it many times, but we need to focus on this issue. Mm. Admire. Have an admiration, marvel, wonder after the beast. In other words, absorb its mindset.
Yes.
And appreciate it and admire it.
And state that he's the moral authority of the earth, like Kerry did.
Now, Martin, a virtual world is a world of escape, right?
Mm-hmm.
A world of escape from reality. Now, if you can create a virtual world of escape from reality, then you can change reality because people have a way of escaping it.
Yeah, exactly.
Are you getting what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So they have a way of escaping it. Now, the primitive form of doing that was to read novels.
Yeah.
So you took a novel and you placed yourself into another world. And, you know, the world and its problems could go away because you were in another world.
Exactly.
Now, that was a very dangerous forerunner of what is happening now.
Yes, because then after that it became movies.
Correct.
And this will be movies on steroids.
Correct. So now you had your novels,
mm-hmm.
and you could create anything. You could create a romantic world. You could create a violent world. You could create a perverse world. You could create anything you wanted to suit every single taste. I wonder how many marriages have ended on the rocks because of novels.
Yeah.
Sickly, sentimental little stories of princes on white horses when the reality is very different by the sweat of your brow.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So you create this utopic idea, and reality is so in contrast with it that your worldview is shattered.
Mm.
And it's so interesting that when you read the Spirit of Prophecy and you read these statements, that novels are actually one of the means to create this alternative reality and should be avoided, you think to yourself, why? But as you see the progression, you can see where it leads.
Mm.
And this is such a dangerous thing. But this is where we are in the stream of history.
That's it.
And how much further can you go than a 3D reality where you actually live inside, you actually climb inside your book and become a character?
Exactly.
That's Jesuit thinking. That is spiritual formation. That is Jesuit theater. That is Jesuit Ignatian spirituality. Mm-hmm. It is from the pits of hell. And this is where the world is leading. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. So this church that sits upon all the nations, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. So we know that the political realm is under her spell.
Yep.
And the inhabitants of the earth, they have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. They've started to admire her and think that she has a point, when she has turned reality into virtual reality. Yeah. Revelation 13, verse 3, and I saw one of the heads as it were wounded to death. We're talking about after the Middle Ages, right? And his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered, that little word, admired, thought like it, became convinced like it after the beast. 17 verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery. Now, modern mystery is something that is underground, that's not visible, that is mysterious. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. We will do a whole series on that. We've touched on it in many times, but perhaps for the time we are living in, we can just pull it all together and give one where we actually talk about these things. Revelation 17, verse 7. And an angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. Now, this mystery is then unfolded in the Word of God, and we are told what her attributes are. And how often must God display her attributes to the world before he will be believed? Seems to me over and over, right?
Seems to me it's going to be continually till the end.
They just don't get it.
No.
No matter how much blood flows, no matter how much freedom they gained out of disassociating, they still want to associate. Yeah, that's why the Bible says, associate yourselves, right? John 18, verse 20, Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. What did this meta representative just say?
That it's still unclear. It's cloaked in mystery.
And secrecy.
In secrecy, how much they actually are doing these abominable things.
Ephesians 5:11 says, Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. God is so opposed to this cloak of secrecy that they wrap themselves into. And this is a kind of preparation for COP26. Because if you do not understand the language of COP26, you will think that nothing happened. Mm-hmm. But in actual fact, once you start decoding their terminology, you can see what they're actually planning in secret.
Yeah. Hmm? They don't work. That devil doesn't work openly. He's keeping you busy with one hand while the other one is doing whatever he wants to.
He's like a magician, illusionist. Councils for the Church, page 335. God has revealed what is to take place in the last days. that his people may be prepared to stand against the tempest of opposition and wrath. Those who have been warned of the events before them are not to sit in calm expectation of the coming storm, comforting themselves that the Lord will shelter his faithful ones in the day of trouble. We are to be as men waiting for the Lord, not in idle expectancy, but in earnest work with unwavering faith. It is no time now to allow our minds to be engrossed with things of minor importance. While men are sleeping, Satan is actively arranging matters so that the Lord's people may not have mercy or justice. The Sunday movement is now making its way in darkness. That's in secrecy, isn't it?
Yep.
The leaders are concealing the true issue. And many who unite in the movement do not themselves see whether the undercurrent is tending. Its professions are mild and apparently Christian, but when it shall speak, it will reveal the spirit of the dragon. This is very important counsel. And because this movement is making its way in secret, God's people are lulled to sleep.
Mm-hmm. They don't see anything.
They are in a virtual snoring paradise. All right. Now we've shown many of these before, but let's just once again reiterate. The Bible says the kings of the world will give their power unto the beast. Now, do we see the kings of the world constantly going to any other individual on this planet on a regular basis other than the Pope?
I don't see it.
I don't see it either. So reality, and not virtual reality, tells us that this is a fact.
Yeah.
The kings of the world, whether they are from the West, like in the case of Donald Trump, or whether they are from the East Bloc, makes no difference. They end up there, and they are greeted equally heartily. Whether they're from the left or from the right, whether they're from the east or from the west or from the north or the south. And here we have Biden and the Pope together, Angela Merkel and the Pope together, and they seem very happy to be in each other's company, right? And Emmanuel Macron, of course. So just a few of the kings of the world that are preparing to give their power unto the beast. And then you have the CEOs of the mega companies. You have Tim Cook, CEO of Apple. Then you have Mark Zuckerberg, founder of Facebook.
And now Meta.
And now Meta. And then you have Kevin Systrom, CEO of Instagram. Do you think there is something happening behind the scenes here, or is just this a friendly visit to your neighbor?
If you listen to the Pope's words and what he asks, ban the fake news in the name of God and all this, and then you see it happen, then I think if you put the two together, you can see his influence is quite drastic.
Now, Martin, if he says ban the fake news, then he implies that you mustn't ban his news. So by definition, his news is not fake news, and anything that is contrary to his news must be fake news, right?
Yeah.
Now, if he is working in secrecy and according to the scripture is the Antichrist, then isn't his version fake news?
Yes.
And the fake news is the real news. Now, you can get very confused because you can put fake news within real news as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that is where you need filters.
Exactly. And where do you get the filters?
The Bible and?
The spirit of prophecy.
We're back to square one, right?
Yep.
So, you know, these people that shout fake news should first use the filter.
Exactly.
To see who is spreading the fake news.
Just something that popped up in my mind now. There was actually a snippet of where I think it was Twitter was fact-checking itself because it put out a statement, and immediately the counter statement that this is not true came up in their own
fact check.
Yeah,
that's interesting. So they fact check each other. And then, of course, we have the religious world. So what have we got now? We've got the political world. The kings of the world will give their power unto the beast. Then the merchants that no longer sell her wares. Now, Martin, that's a very interesting statement in Revelation chapter 18. Her wares. Now, what are her wares? Are we talking only about products, or are we talking about ideology?
Yes, ideology will definitely have to be part of it.
So we know that the merchants of the world are associated with her, also with her ideology. And there are some interesting adverts where products are being advertised without advertising the product at all, but merely a morality associated with the organization, right?
Yes, that's happened recently with a lot of adverts.
Perhaps we can put some of that into a future WhatsApp, Ross, yeah. Right? We can do that. So we also know that the religious world, the children, will associate with her. So you had Kenneth Copeland, and you had Rick Warren, the so-called father of the Protestant world, and you had Panti Philibus Musa, the president of the Lutheran World Federation, and any other religious leader that you can think of in the world,
yes,
of any prominence, they've also been there.
Not even only Christian.
Exactly.
Buddhists, Islam.
Now, let us get closer to our current topic, which is COP26. We know that Biden had a meeting with the Pope just prior to COP26. Then he had a meeting with the G20. And then finally, they went to COP26, right? God love ya, says CNN Politics. Warm relationship between the world's most powerful Catholics on display as Biden and Pope Francis meet. After, Biden said Francis had told him he was pleased he was a good Catholic and that he should continue receiving communion despite opposition from some conservative American bishops over his support for abortion. Biden's meeting Friday was heavy with symbolism for the nation's second Catholic president, who attends Mass almost every week, making the sign of the cross during his speeches, and displays a photo of Francis in the Oval Office alongside frames of his wife and grandchildren. So, Martin, here we have two people obviously of the same mindset. So, are they reflecting the same image?
Yes.
Spiritually speaking.
Definitely.
Absolutely, right? Revelation 13 verse 14 says, and he deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of the miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. So it must have the same mindset. Must admire the first one to such an extent that it wants to incorporate that mindset into its legislation. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast, that they should be killed. Now, how does a political system, which is a beast, speak and cause through legislation?
Yeah.
It's the only way. So you either shape up or you ship out, right? Mm-hmm. You either come into harmony with this mindset or there is no place for you.
Correct. And they will, obviously, that's why we're going to talk about it, use certain means that can incorporate all of humanity.
Correct. Now, if you are well known through your dogmas, for example, to be opposed to the very basics of this beast power, then you should be a special target, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. They that keep the commandments of God.
Yes.
So, Martin, before COP26 actually took place, there was this visit by Biden. There was also the visit by religious leaders. Mm-hmm. The political leaders were there. It was a very busy time of preparation. So the Pope didn't actually have to be at COP26 because the work was actually done before, mm-hmm. right? So the COP26 was basically a rubber stamp. Let's have a look at some of the meetings that took place there.
The Pope met with politicians from different countries who were in Rome to prepare for the upcoming climate change conference in Glasgow. United States Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and President of the Italian Chamber of Deputies Roberto Fico were present.
È una profonda emozione per tutti noi, rappresentanti dei parlamenti di oltre 70 paesi, poterla incontrare ed ascoltarla oggi.
Pope Francis said that overcoming the climate crisis requires a shift in attitude, beginning with global leaders.
È una sfida impegnativa e complessa, ma l'umanità ha i mezzi per affrontare questa trasformazione che richiede una vera e propria conversione interiore e la ferma volontà di intraprenderla. Lo richiede in particolare a quanti sono chiamati a incarichi di grande responsabilità nei diversi ambiti della società.
He also asked for more solidarity among countries to address climate change together.
Siamo di fronte, infatti, a un'importante sfida educativa, perché ogni cambiamento ha bisogno di un cammino educativo per far maturare una nuova solidarietà universale e una società più accogliente.
The Pope will not travel to Glasgow for COP26, but he has been actively promoting the upcoming climate conference, which will begin on October 31st, asking participants to reach concrete and ambitious agreements.
Well, we can see who the main person there is, right? The one sitting in front, dressed in white. It's interesting that you can see the Swiss Guard standing in the back there, the symbol of his protection by the Swiss. And it's interesting, Martin, that the Swiss government has now opened its embassy in the Vatican as well, whereas before it worked through a subsidiary. Mm-hmm. So it seems as if the nations are rapidly coming on board, right? And this is before COP26, a very good preparation. We could also show the videos on the religious meetings and the signing of the religious accord in preparation for COP26. And then Time magazine gave it an interesting title, The Last Call. Sounds almost like the last invitation to humanity, right?
Mm-hmm. Maybe it can cry. Maybe it can be followed with a loud cry from the other side.
Correct. And then there were two chairs that were noteworthily empty, namely the Chinese delegation and the Russian delegation. There must always be some form of conflict. Mm. It mustn't appear too cut and dried. But all of those individuals were with the Vatican before anyway, so really is this reality or is this cloak and dagger stuff? Mm. And they had a cutout of the Queen because she was too ill to attend. But she was there in a virtual capacity. I think they could have done better and put her there in a hologram. But the Pope himself, too, he also was absent, but he'd done his work already.
Exactly.
So it's a very interesting picture. And it's also very interesting that the front row here in the center is occupied by the one that represents the second beast of Revelation. And, of course, the news is always very interesting when it comes to these things, but you'll only see what happens on the surface.
Yeah.
You'll never see what happens underneath. For that, you have to dig a little deeper. And here's a news broadcast from Sky News, Australia. And they are really quite blunt sometimes, so let them say it rather than us, right?
Okay, let's have a bit of a look at what's going on in Glasgow, hey? As I said, China, Russia and India have snubbed it effectively. They've played the rest of the world for suckers, I guess. But the conference has started to hear from some leading figures, all going with the same Save the Planet mantra, of course, but all in their different styles. Let's start with some dignity. The Queen sent a video message urging the leaders to get the job done for future generations.
I, for one, hope that this conference will be one of those rare occasions where everyone will have the chance to rise above the politics of the moment and achieve true statesmanship.
Fat chance, ma'am, fat chance. For instance, your gibbering fool of a son, your heir apparent, he gave an address that might have come from Fidel Castro.
We know this will take trillions, not billions of dollars. We also know that countries, many of whom are burdened by growing levels of debt, simply cannot afford to go green. Here we need a vast military-style campaign to marshal the strength of the global private sector.
That was Comrade Charles. I mean, Prince Charles. Despite all this radical talk of upending global economics, politics, business and trade, it wasn't enough for perhaps the youngest but biggest name in Glasgow, Greta Thunberg.
Change is not going to come from inside there. That is not leadership. This is leadership. Yeah! This is what leadership looks like. We say no more blah, blah, blah. No more exploitation of people and nature and the planet. No more exploitation. No more blah, blah, blah. No more whatever the f*** they're doing inside there.
Yeah, but these climate conferences are so surreal that the rhetorical flourishes of the teenage radical activists found their way into the arguments of the conference host, Boris Johnson. He pointed out to all the commitments made in the previous conferences leading up to Glasgow.
And all those promises will be nothing but blah, 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 to coin a phrase. And the anger and the impatience of the world will be uncontainable unless we make this COP26 in Glasgow the moment when we get real about climate change.
I think they made vax the word of the year this year. I reckon it might be blah, blah, blah next year. So Glasgow, with its private jets, famous supporters and giant entourages, might generate more emissions than it cuts. And it won't be taken seriously by the extremists that it's trying to placate.
So, Martin, let's not get involved in blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
What is blah, blah, blah? Blah, blah, blah is what the world is supposed to see. Mm. What happens behind the scenes is more interesting than blah, blah, blah. Mm. And we don't have to add to the comments of Sky News. I think they did a fair enough job. We could add a few more adjectives, but we could also leave it at that. So what really happened over there? Now, there have been ministries that have done an excellent work in exposing some of the things that are happening behind the scenes. So there are people on this planet that are actually aware of what is happening and are filtering things through the Bible and the spirit of prophecy.
Yes.
And some of the things which are being said are, I think, very relevant. So here is UN Climate Change Conference, UK 2021, and it comes from the 4th of November. And we will look at some of the buzzwords which they use, behind which they hide their intentions, where they work in darkness. And this one says, supporting the conditions for a just transition internationally. This sounds like Klaus Schwab, right?
Yeah.
We are going to have a just transition. But the word just transition is a buzzword. And you will have to find it in different connotations in order to see what they are saying.
Yes, it's almost like build back better.
Yes. And when they all start saying it, and when this mantra is repeated over and over, then it's perhaps time to start digging into what are they actually saying, because it's a code word for something else, right? The Paris Agreement preamble reflects the close links between climate action, sustainable development, and a just transition. There's the word. With parties to the agreement taking into account the imperative of a just transition of the workplace and the creation of a decent work and quality jobs in accordance with nationally defined development priorities. The International Labour Organization 2015 guidelines for a just transition, that's the how manyth time that we're reading it now, negotiated between governments, employers and their organizations, as well as workers and their trade unions, established a global understanding for the term just transition. They're making a point, are they not? Mm-hmm. It described it as a process towards an environmentally sustainable economy, which needs to be well managed and contribute to the goals of decent work for all. That's another code word.
Yes, decent work.
Social inclusion and the eradication of poverty. Now, there are many, many things in this statement. And the ILO is the International Labour Organization, and that is directly affiliated with the United Nations. It is the overseeing body, and it also represents, of course, trade unions and workers through the trade union. So it's a grassroots, supposedly, movement. Now, when we go back into the history of trade unions, where did they start?
At Rome.
In the Vatican. That is where they started. And the early trade unions, they have the nuns working, etc., etc., creating this image and creating this utopia for the worker.
Almost a virtual reality.
It's a virtual reality. You're right. Okay, so just transition. We need to unpack that and see what it means. And then we ask ourselves, at this COP meeting, what was actually decided that nobody really talks about? And it was this just transition in cooperation with the trade unions of the world represented by the International Labour Organization of the United Nations. And it was signed by the governments of the United Kingdom, Belgium, Canada, the government of the Kingdom of Denmark, the European Union, the government of the French Republic, the government of the Federal Republic of Germany, Greece, the government of the Italian Republic. So even though the European Union is mentioned there, they mentioned them individually as well, just to make sure. The government of the Netherlands, the government of New Zealand, the government of the Kingdom of Norway, the government of the Republic of Poland, the government of Spain, the government of the Kingdom of Sweden, and the federal government of the United States. All of them there. Now, who was sitting in the front row of that time picture?
United States.
The United States of America. It will be the key player in terms of the signatory. If we turn to South Africa, here's a statement from the government webpage. And it says, Presidency on International Partnership to Support a Just Transition. Same terminology.
Yep.
To a low carbon economy and a climate resilient society. So President Cyril Ramaphosa has today, Tuesday, 2nd November 2021, joined other leaders in announcing a historic partnership with the governments of, and then we have the list again, France, Germany, United Kingdom, United States, as well as European Union, to support a just transition to a low-carbon economy and a climate-resilient society in South Africa. So it's interesting that is followed by this statement here. In preparation for COP26, South Africa submitted a revised nationally determined contribution, which is known as NDC. Basically, Martin, as I understand it, each government commits to certain actions within its sphere. Mm-hmm. And without this commitment and without this document, you have no place in COP.
Correct. And you have to adhere to your NDC.
And you have to adhere to the commitment. Now, the South African power industry is heavily based on coal. So through the political declaration issued today to establish this partnership, partner countries will mobilize an initial 8.5 billion over the next 3 to 5 years through a range of instruments, including grants and concessional finance, to support the implementation of our revised NDC through a just transition to a low carbon and climate resilient economy. So all these nations are on board with their NDCs and their just transition.
Correct.
And the just transition is part of the labor drive, right? Mm. It's very important that we understand that, and that COP26 signed this documentation.
And now what's interesting is if you take South Africa, these other partners, because we are not financially strong enough to do it on our own, they make sure that there will be enough to get this whole movement implemented.
But let's just get some outcome from this. This sounds so nice and so rosy. Mm-hmm. And they've been supplied with $8.5 billion in order to create some of this transition. Now, what happens to all the privately owned companies that deal in the previous technology? What will happen to them?
They'll have to go.
Okay, so where will this $8.5 billion be distributed to? To these private companies, or will it be into organizations that are well established within the sphere of power? Mm. So basically what we can see here is that there is a lot of money going into it, but that money is going in a particular direction and will basically get rid of the middle class and private enterprise.
And private enterprise.
So in order to understand how the ramifications work, we have to understand government and labor working together to implement the image of the beast, mm-hmm. right? Of course, religion as well. So there must be something that labor wants, and there must be something that religion wants, and then there must be something that is absolutely in harmony with what the beast wants.
Yes.
Correct? Yeah. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. So let's see what Biden had to say about the International Labor Organization.
Hi, everyone. I want to thank the International Labor Organization for everything you do. Just as it did when this organization was founded a century ago, democracy faces another test now. The autocrats of the world believe democracy can't compete in the 21st century. They became emboldened, and now they're coming after the rights of workers and the international labor standards that have long identified the ILO. They're betting we can't come through for working people, but they're wrong.
All right, let's unpack that a little bit, Martin. So is he on board with the International Labor Organization?
Yep, he's definitely.
Absolutely, right? And he's linking it to democracy. Democracy is where the people apparently have a choice to make. But who's making the choice here? The International Labor Organization,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that democracy?
No.
Or is that implied democracy?
Yes, because they do it on behalf of the people, but they do as they see fit.
Correct. And what they see fit is what has been impressed upon them by a higher power before. So we have to see that connection. Mm. So this is no longer democracy, Martin. This is coercion of the highest level.
It's actually brilliant because it's coercion without you knowing it's coercion.
Correct. Under the umbrella of something else.
It's like, I'll tell you what's best for you.
Correct. So now let's just make sure We have to get these connections. Here's the Vatican News, Pope to the ILO. Urgent need for economic reform and protection of all workers. So here you can see the Pope there on the screen and standing in the front there in a meeting with all the hard hats, representing the man in the street, the laborer. That's why it's democracy. But the organization is ruled and run by figures that is anything but democracy. So marking 109 years since the founding of the International Labour Organization, Pope Francis sends a video message in which he stresses the importance of the rights of workers, each worker in each form of work, especially as we come out of this COVID-19 pandemic in hope of economic recovery. The rights of workers. Now, under the rights of workers, we must never forget that even in Rerum Novarum, which is the main document which deals with the workers' right, the right to Sunday rest is a paramount important aspect.
Yes.
He went on to add that the protection of workers and the most vulnerable must be ensured through the respect of their fundamental rights, including the right to organize in unions. That is, explained the Pope, organizing in unions is a right. Spirit of Prophecy tells us it is one of the means to bring about a time of trouble such as never was. It is the conviction of the Holy See that work and therefore workers can count on guarantees, support and empowerment if they are protected from the game of deregulation, said the Pope. Legal norms must be geared towards employment growth, decent work and the right and duties of the human person, he added. Now this decent work is another code. So everything is hidden in code.
Yes, we have to find and unpack what do they mean with decent work.
So you have a just transition, you have a decent work, and you have an organization which pays lip service to Rerum Novarum.
Exactly.
To the Pope, to his encyclicals. So let's have a look at the International Labour Organization's own webpage. Guidelines for a just transition towards environmentally sustainable economies and societies for all. Again, you have the buzzwords, just transition.
And it's also interesting just to note how they bring all of this together. You've got religion in here, you've got climate change in here, the whole swarm of things are bundled together.
Now, why do they do that? Because you need distraction.
Exactly.
If it were so clear-cut, then maybe God's people could wake up. But if you do it this way, they can keep on snoring, right? So what is their vision? The four pillars are the decent work agenda, there's the buzzword, social dialogue, social protection, right at work and employment are indispensable building blocks for its sustainable development. And Prince Charles, of course, is the ultimate sustainable prince and must be at the center of policies for strong, sustainable and inclusive growth and development. Let's look at decent work. Poverty eradication, environmental sustainability are three of the defining challenges of the 21st century. Economies must be productive to meet the needs of the world's growing population. Societies must be inclusive, providing opportunities for decent work for all, reducing inequalities, and effectively eliminating poverty. It's all couched in very nice buzzwords, right?
Yes.
Now, let's have a look at the religious organization. By the way, the ILO, in its documentation, also ensconces Sunday as a worker's right which the state must guarantee.
It's exactly what they are doing. And if you're now going to take Rerum Novarum, it brings it all together and they're doing actually what the Vatican wants them to do.
Correct. So now you have the labor unions wanting Sunday rest. And, you know, when they started this European Sunday Alliance, There were signatories, public signatories to this from all walks of government, mm-hmm. all churches, and interestingly, virtually all the labor unions yes. as well. So it shows this decided agreement on this issue by all of these parties. So the European Sunday Alliance conference on a work-free Sunday and decent work, they work Amazing. Together. So you have labor and you have religion asking for exactly the same thing.
And this is giving a definition to decent work.
Let's have a look. The pledge states that a work-free Sunday and decent working hours are of paramount importance for citizens and workers throughout Europe and are not necessarily in conflict with economic competitiveness, especially in the present time of socio-economic crisis. The adoption of legislation extending working hours to late evenings, nights, bank holidays, and Sundays has direct consequences for the working conditions of employees and for small and medium-sized enterprises. Competitiveness needs innovation, innovation needs creativity, and creativity needs recreation. So decent work implies Sunday keeping.
That's it, in a nutshell.
So basically, when the governments at COP26 signed this agreement with the International Labour Organization, they were signing an agreement for the implementation of Sunday legislation.
If you want to put it bluntly, that's exactly,
what they did. But it's in darkness.
Exactly.
You can't see it. All right, Martin, so let's just tie labour and government together. Here is Marty Welch speaking, and he is the Secretary of Labour. And you have Joe Biden. So let's have a look at what they have to say.
We were just back in the green room, and the president was talking to President Shuler and Jocelyn, and he said, this is labor's house. And how often do you hear that?
And I want to welcome everyone to the White House, and I really mean that. This is your house. It's not hyperbole. It's a fact. This is your house. I wouldn't be here without you. That's, again, not hyperbole. In my White House, you'll always be welcome. Always be welcome. Labor will always be welcome. You know, you've heard me say many times, I intend to be the most pro-union president, leading the most pro-union administration in American history. But I think one of the reasons I'm able to do that is the public is changing, too. You've changed the public. You've educated them a lot. And every day, we remember that America wasn't built by Wall Street. They're not all bad folks on Wall Street. I'm not suggesting that. But they didn't build America. It was built by the middle class. And unions built the middle class.
Martin, do you think that what he just said was the truth or the distortion of the truth?
I think it's a distortion of the truth.
I see. So the labor unions built the middle class. Mm. I think the middle class built in spite of the labor unions.
Exactly.
But leave that as it may be. He also said that the labor unions educated the masses. Mm. By sheer force of numbers, by having all the workers in their camp, they have become a formidable voice. Mm-hmm. For the people. But how do you educate the people with a particular mindset,
yes,
right?
You put it back, like we've seen with the international labor law.
Correct. Now, whose mindset are they educating the people with? Isn't it the mindset of the very ones that praised them and told them what their marching orders were? Mm-hmm. Wasn't that the Vatican? So let's have a look at Marty Welch and how does he fit into the picture? Let's just get some information about this United States Secretary of Labor. He initially dropped out of college. He later took night classes as an adult and received a Bachelor of Arts degree in Social Science from the Woods College of Advancing Studies at Boston College in 2009, and he joined the labor unions local at the age of 21 and served as the union's president until he became the mayor of Boston. In 2015, Walsh launched the Climate Ready Boston initiative to prepare Boston for the effects of climate change. Can you see how this all fits mm-hmm. together? And of course, Boston College. Can you tell us something about Boston College?
It's a Jesuit college.
Oh, a Jesuit mm-hmm. college. Isn't that strange?
It's a coincidence, probably.
Yes, of course. Conspiracy. Walsh served in the leadership of C40 Cities Climate Leadership Group. He is a Roman Catholic, obviously. He speaks Irish. So the plan has come together. All the parties are sitting around the same table. Let's read Great Controversy. And then the great deceiver will persuade men that those who serve God are causing these evils. The class that have provoked the displeasure of heaven will charge all their troubles upon those whose obedience to God's commandments is a perpetual reproof to transgressors. Martin, let's get them off the air. Mm-hmm. Let's get the social media companies to shadow ban them and then ban them entirely.
Yeah. And even do it in the name of God.
And do it in the name of God. It will be declared that men are offending God by the violation of the Sunday Sabbath, that this sin has brought calamities which will not cease until Sunday observance shall be strictly enforced, and that those who present the claims of the fourth commandment, thus destroying reverence for Sunday, are troublers of the people, preventing their restoration to divine favor and temporal prosperity. Is the table laid?
Yes, for sure.
Everybody's ready to eat, right? Thus the accusation urged of old against the servant of God will be repeated and upon the grounds equally well established. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and has followed Balaam. As the wrath of the people shall be excited by false charges, they will pursue a course towards God's ambassadors very similar to that which apostate Israel pursued towards Elijah. Who was Ahab married to?
Jezebel.
And Jezebel serves as a type?
Of Roman Catholicism.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because you read in the Middle Church, Theatira, that there was a Jezebel there. And that she dealt with the colors purple and crimson,
that's it, yes.
Which are the colors of Rome. So, in other words, the modern Ahab, the leaders of the world, including Joe Biden, are in bed with Jezebel. Mm-hmm. And Jezebel led people into sun worship. You tolerate that woman who led her into sun worship. Now, Sunday is a very integral part of sun mm-hmm. worship. And the venerable day of the sun, it was called. So, Martin, this is a direct attack upon the authority of God. And it's taking the real world of God and transforming it into a virtual world of the imagination.
And it's done so cleverly that it looks like it's actually in favor of what God would want.
It looks like it, but it is the exact antithesis. Well, let's see whether this labor organization, etc., can lead by example. Here's an article in Eddy, the first week of COP26, the 10 biggest stories. It's half time on the 2-week push to move the world towards the 1.5 degree centigrade ambition of the Paris Agreement, with the negotiations set to continue following a rest day on Sunday, 7th of November. Here, Eddie summarizes all the key developments from the first week of COP26. They're leading by example. They're leading by example. They're telling us in code where they are going. The Journal America, the Jesuit Review, Pope Francis' failure to fight climate change will incur God's judgment.
We just read about that in the Great Controversy.
Correct. And if you fail to acknowledge his directives and his rerum novarum, mm-hmm. then, Martin, you will incur another God's judgment, which happens to be him, right?
Yes.
And they will cause as many as will not worship the beast to be killed. World leaders are running out of time and must address the challenges of climate change before it's too late, Pope Francis said. Time is running out. This occasion must not be wasted. You know what? I'm so glad time is running out. I'm so glad he's on a short fuse.
Yes.
Because this means that the Lord is coming soon, exactly. Right? He's in such a rush, and God's people are sleeping. How do you explain that? Unbelievable. This occasion must not be wasted, lest we have to face God's judgment for our failure to be faithful stewards of the world he has entrusted to our care. He wrote, at the summit, the United States and China announced November 10 that a joint agreement was signed between the two countries in an effort to lower greenhouse gas emissions. Now, this is very interesting,
mm-hmm.
because China was absent.
Exactly.
But it's in the bag. It's just for appearances. It must be a divergent tactic.
Yeah.
They must be looking in different directions so that you do not see what is happening in darkness. God forbid that God's people should wake up. This would be the greatest calamity for the papacy. He wants everything in the bag
yeah.
before the loud cry. He thanked Catholics in Scotland for joining him in prayer for the conference, which is meant to address one of the great moral issues of our time, the preservation of God's creation, given to us as a garden to be cultivated and as a common home for our human family. And he's already told us in Laudato Si what that moral issue is. We must keep Sunday.
That's
the labor unions have said it. The churches are saying it. The papacy is saying it. And Biden is praising the labor unions. The Lutheran World Federation, we've done this, shown this many yeah. times, is on board with this jubilee of the earth.
And what's interesting to me, if we talk to somebody about the Saturday Sabbath of the Lord, they say, oh, but you want to keep a day to get in favor with God. But they seem to forget that now that they want to implement, and there has been laws, blue laws, on books of every country almost in the world, then it wasn't a problem to have laws for God's Sunday to be kept.
Correct. As long as it's their law
yeah.
and not God's law. Now, another interesting side issue is this report in the Jerusalem Post that Michael Flynn calls for U.S. to have only one religion. That's very interesting, right? Do you think that one religion would then be a minority religion or a majority religion?
Majority.
Must be, right? Yep. If we're going to have one nation under God, which we have to have one religion, Flynn said Saturday at a rally in Texas for Reawakening America. A Christian-themed speaking tour backed by the Christian news network America Faith. One nation under God and one religion under God. Now, Martin, that sounds to me like making Christianity in its broad sense
and
the religion.
And now, if you have to think, this is the Christian rally going on, and they calling for this one religion, so obviously it will have to be the Christian religion. And what day do they upheld?
Sunday.
Sunday. So that's just what I want to emphasize what I mentioned earlier. It's not a problem for them to emphasize Sunday keeping.
Correct.
But
let's downplay exactly. Saturday and the Sabbath.
And just you mention Saturday, then you are a legalist.
And the Pope has already opined that what binds Christians together is that they all keep Sunday. But of course, he neglects those that don't, right?
Yeah.
So basically, Martin, what we are seeing here is a pronged attack from all of these organizations. And hidden in their terminology, you have Sunday legislation ensconced.
Mm-hmm.
And the axiom, all roads lead to Rome, is as verily truth as it has always been. And we are living in the very tippy toes of Earth's history. And we need to discuss, Martin, how we're going to deal with what is going to come upon us with blinding force.
Yeah.
So perhaps in our next ones, we can look at some practical issues, how to survive in a time like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we can look at summaries of the flow of events so that we can be grounded and firm and understand what the Word of God is telling us about the times that we are living in. And rather than using this for fear-mongering,
mm-hmm.
let us rather say, lift up your heads, because you know that your redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this Sunday movement has indeed been making its way in darkness, but it is coming to fruition, and the legal frameworks have been set, and they are international legal frameworks. Give us the wisdom and the understanding which comes through your word to embrace the truth and to stand with it though the heavens fall, is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.